St. Luke. We'll be in the fourth chapter of the book of St. Luke tonight. Appreciate all the folks that brought their kids out to the Bible school last week. That was a real blessing to see so many kids in the house of God. And some times that they'll never forget, I'm sure. All right, tonight I'm going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Before we get there, I want you to notice a couple of things, though, before we get into the message tonight. In Luke chapter 2, we'll see the birth of Christ, and we see a desired proclamation there. When the angel of the Lord said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I'm glad He was for all of us. Amen. He didn't just come to a certain few, but I'm glad He's willing to seek and to save anybody that wants to be saved. And I'm glad the Savior came from the glories of heaven. And He lived a sinless life, went up on Calvary's cross, and He died there for my sins and for your sins. And so there we see His birth, a desired proclamation, a Savior had come. Then in chapter number 3, we see His baptism. There was a divine pronouncement there. God Himself, a voice from heaven, said, "Thou art my beloved Son, and in Thee I'm well pleased." I'm pleased with Him tonight too. He saved me a long time ago, and I can tell you tonight He's always been faithful. And you know, I hadn't always been faithful, but He has. God's been good to me, and God's been good to you too. And I'm glad tonight I ain't got to go to hell because of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for my sins on Calvary's cross. And then in chapter number 4, we see His battle. We see the devil's plot in chapter number 4. As the devil came against Christ to tempt Him, to try to lure Him away from the will of God. And you know, Christ was strong. He was full of power. He had the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and He was led of the Spirit, tempted by the devil, and He won a victory over Satan there that day. And I'm glad today we can have the same power of the Holy Ghost dwelling within us if we're led by the Spirit of God as we journey through life. But when the devil comes with his temptations to you and I, if we're full of the Spirit of God, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost and being led by Him, then we can have victory over the devil's temptations in our life. Amen? Amen. Oh, it's a daily walk. It's a daily thing. We need a daily filling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, in our lives. We need to be full of the Word of God. Jesus used the Word, and He used the fullness of the Holy Ghost to battle the devil and win the victory there as the devil came against Him. But now, in chapter number 4, where I want to look at tonight, I want you to look at some verses right here on down in chapter number 4. Of Luke's Gospel. We'll start reading right here in verse number 14. We see right here that, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable a year of the Lord.' And He closed the book, He gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, 'This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, God, for the privilege, Lord, of being in church tonight, Lord. God, we ask You, Lord, as a needy man tonight, God, for Your touch, Lord, for Your anointing. We ask You, God, You'd bless this tonight, God, You've laid upon our heart, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, it'd be help, Lord, to each one that's come this way tonight, Lord, for we need you in our lives, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, the powerful anointed preaching of Christ. Can I say that's what we need today in all our churches today? We need powerful preaching. We need an anointed man of God to stand up with the power of God upon him, full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit of God, filled of the Word of God, and to deliver a message to God's people. Amen. There's so many places today where you just can't find it anymore. Amen. Even the great apostle Paul. I want you to notice what Paul said right here over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 right here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Paul was a learned man in the law of God. You couldn't have found nobody that knew any more, that had a more of a head knowledge of the Word of God in his day than he did. But notice what Paul said about his preaching right here. In verse number 4 of chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Can I tell you that Holy Ghost preaching can't be bought? Holy Ghost preaching can't be taught. Man has to be called of God. He has to be anointed of God and sent out to preach the Word of God with God's power upon him, or it'll be of none effect. Amen. There's too many today that just gets up the notion, well, I think I want to be a preacher. I think I'll go to school and learn how to preach. It don't work that way, folks. You can go to the seminary, you can get you a degree from here to the red light in Bowden, but if God ain't on you, you ain't going to get no preaching done. But there's a lot of boys today that's gone to the seminary, and they'll go to the internet and get them a sermonette and try to preach the Word of God without anything on it. Amen. I'm glad we still got some preachers today that'll stand up with God all over them and preach the Word of God with the power of God. And it'll go out and it'll touch hearts and it'll touch lives and it'll change lives. It'll revive the church and it'll draw sinners. Well, what a difference Holy Ghost preaching can make in a person's life. When I grew up as a little old boy, one of the things that I noticed in church, this was before school age even, one of the great things that I noticed in church was a man of God with the power of God on him. He didn't have any degree from a seminary, but he had the Holy Ghost compassion upon him, and he preached the Word of God. Oh, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but oh, let me tell you, it got my attention. I knew he had something that I didn't have. Oh, he had the power of God, and he demonstrated that through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, how we need that today. In our churches, how we need it in our lives as individuals. Oh, we're commanded in the Word of God to be filled with the Spirit of God and to walk with God and to love God and to love one another. Oh, listen to me tonight. I want you to notice this right here, first of all. The receiving, the resource of His power and the results of His power right here. Christ, the preacher. The great preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Oh, he never had to repent of sin. Oh, can you imagine how much fullness of the Spirit of God Christ had on him? He was a man who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. What a power he had on him. When he delivered words, it had power on it to touch hearts and lives and to draw men to him. Oh, today we need that same power in our lives, don't we? Notice this right here, the receiving of His power. In chapter number 3, back to His baptism right here, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased." When Christ was baptized, you notice right there, there's something inserted in there that help us in our lives. He was baptized and praying. Praying. How much praying do you do? How much of a burden do you have to be closer to the Lord? How much of a burden do you have to serve the Lord? How much of a burden do you have to want to be a blessing to somebody, to win somebody that's lost to the Lord? We need to pray. Amen. Think about it today. Have you prayed today? Or have you got so caught up in the things of the world you hadn't had time to pray? Well, we better take time to pray in these days that we live in, because we're living in the last days. The Lord could soon appear. Amen. We need to pray. We need to be close to God in these last days. The devil's a-raging. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. Don't let him get you. Pray. Be strong in the Lord. Get filled with the Spirit of God in these last days. Oh, he received power through the heavenly dove that lit upon him there that day, the Holy Ghost of God. You know, he had great power because he was Holy Ghost filled and he was Holy Ghost led. As it says in the first verse right here of chapter number 4, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Boy, this old world's a wilderness, ain't it? Amen. The devil and his demons are raging in this world today. Hey, he's after you. He's after me. He's after your children. He's after your grandchildren. And he's going about seeking whom he may destroy and devour. Oh, listen to me. But if we'll get filled with the Spirit of God, if we'll let God lead us by His Spirit, we can win victory over the devil. We can accomplish something in our lives for the sake of God today. So he had great power. But I want you to notice as he began his ministry right here, and you see with the subjects that he preached about, everywhere that Jesus went, there was great grace about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it wasn't about him. It was about others. He was always reaching out to help somebody that was in need. Listen to me tonight. Can you think of any time in your life when God had great grace upon you? Great mercy upon you. Unmerited favor that you received of God in your situation in life. Oh, I can in my life. There's many characters in the Bible that they heard the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ of love, mercy, forgiveness, of hope, and of healing. Notice this in chapter 4, verse number 22, what it said. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I'm glad I've got a Bible tonight. I'm glad I got a red letter edition of the Bible. I can see the words that's written that came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I like to read what he has to say to me. There's words of grace, of mercy, of hope, of healing, of salvation that goes out of his words today. Boy, listen to me. Can you imagine what happened over in the Bible right here to the leper? In chapter number 5, there was a leper that came to him. The Bible says he fell down at Jesus' feet. I think he was prostrate with his feet on the ground. He didn't deserve to be there. He was supposed to stay away from people. But he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Jesus reached down and he touched him. And the gracious words that he spoke to him that day forever changed his life. He said, I will be thou clean. And he got up and he went away free of the leprosy. Leprosy is a type of sin. Oh, I'm glad that when we get full of sin in our life, we can fall at the feet of Jesus. We can get up from there clean. We can go our way thanks to the good grace of God. Oh, there was a man with a palsy in chapter number 5 that his friends tore open the roof and let him down in the presence of Jesus. The gracious words that Jesus said, the very first thing that Jesus said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Well, he didn't say at that time. Jesus knew his greatest need was to be forgiven of his sins. We have a lot of physical needs in life as we go through life, but the greatest need that man has today is to be forgiven of his sins and to be saved from his sins and a devil's hell. So he heard the precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Then you go on right here. There was a woman with an issue of blood that came. She'd had this issue for 12 years. She'd spent all that she had and was none better. And Jesus was passing by. And I just imagine that she was probably weak. She was probably frail. She touched the hem of his garment, which probably, she probably crawled through the crowd, weak and weary and sick. And when she touched the hem of his garment, virtue left the Lord Jesus Christ. He stopped and he said, who touched me? And he had some gracious words as he dealt with that woman right there. He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And when she touched his garment, she was healed at that moment. Her faith to get to Jesus. What gracious words that he had for her. Oh, listen. The woman that was taken in adultery. All of us know that story. Where they brought her to Jesus. The men had gathered around ready to stone her to death. Jesus stooped down in the sand and he began to write in the sand. Her accusers, one by one, disappeared. They turned and they left. Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "No man, Lord." Gracious words. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She was guilty, guilty, guilty. The law said stone her. But Christ said, "Go. Go." What gracious words. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Those are gracious words for anybody that's bogged down in this old world with sin and sorrow. Whatever our need is, Jesus has open arms to welcome us to Him. Blind Bartimaeus, he sat by the wayside one day, roadside. Commotion. What's going on? Jesus is passing by. And he began to cry out, "Jesus! Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried out the more and the more, and Jesus stopped and called him to bring him to him. He said, "What would you have me to do?" He said, "That I might receive my sight." He said these words, gracious words, "Receive thy sight, but this, thy faith hath saved thee." Words of great grace for this man. But I like one other place in my Bible. Great words of grace. Jesus hung on the cross. Looking out at those that had cried, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, give us Barabbas." Those that drove the nails in His hands and in His feet. The gracious words that He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I wonder how many times when I was out in sin that maybe Jesus had His eyes on me. Maybe He interceded for my soul to the Father. "Father, spare him. Father, forgive him." And one day He sent the Holy Ghost out after me. Convicted me. Drawed me into a place of repentance. Saved me. And I've never been the same. Never been the same. Failed Him many times. Many, many times. But He's never failed me. And He never will. Great power, great grace, great glory. Verse 15. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. You know, when Jesus does something to somebody, they ought to worship Him. They ought to thank Him. They ought to give Him praise. They ought to give Him glory. In the synagogues right here, they glorified Him. They give Him the glory that was due to His name. Worship ought not to be dead. Our worship ought to be lively. It ought to be exciting. We ought to be tickled to death that God spared us through another day to let us walk back up these steps and enter into His house tonight. To worship Him and give Him thanksgiving that He didn't let us die and go to hell. Amen. Well, He's worthy of our praise tonight. Oh, the receiving, the resource, and the results of His power. But I want you to notice, I got to throw this in right here. the responsibility of his parents. Those parents that brought your kids to church tonight, I appreciate that. There's a great responsibility given to you. Christ had responsible parents. Even though he was a son of God, he grew up as a child in the house of his mom and daddy. And they raised him right. Notice what the Bible says right here now. And Jesus returned, the Spirit of Galilee went out to fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now let's stop right there just a second. Talking about the responsibility of his parents. Their practice was to be at the house of God on the day of God. Hey, the Sabbath day was the Jewish day of worship. And it was his custom, it was their custom, it was their parents' custom to have their kids at the house of God when the house of God was open. That's a good thing, ain't it? Amen. I wish every parent in the world today would get their children to the house of God. Get them under the Word of God. Jesus' parents, hey, their practice was right. And their priorities was right. You know, it's a battle. There's a lot of things in the world today to distract parents. There's things in the world today that'll draw you, that the devil will give you, he'll dangle everything in the world out in front of you to get you not to go to work on Monday. No. To keep you out of church on Sunday. Amen. Amen. He's got all kind of devices. You better beware. If you got a child under your roof, it's your responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because you'll stand before God Almighty one day and you'll give an account of how you raised your kids. Might as well say his kids, because he's the one that gave them to you. He's the one that placed them in your hands. So we see the responsibility, their practice, their priorities, but their participation. I believe they taught by example. You ever heard the old saying, like father, like son? Like mother, like daughter? It was Jesus' parents' custom to be in the synagogue, in the house of God, on the day of God. It was their custom, and Jesus followed their practice. Amen. They participated. They participated in the things of God. And notice they had the right book. He was taught to reverence the house of God, the responsibilities of the house of God. And you ought to teach your children to reverence the house of God. Respect the man of God. This is a holy place. Amen. This ain't no just any old building. This is God's house. It's a house of worship. A place where we gather and hope and pray to God that He'll manifest His presence here in this place. Amen. The responsibility of the parents. But lastly, this right here, I want you to notice this. Not only the responsibility of the parents, but the reaching of His preaching. The reaching of His preaching. Notice this. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The reaching of His preaching. Hey, the anointing of His preaching. He was anointed to preach because He was appointed to preach. Amen. He was doing what God had sent him into this world to do. He had a purpose. He had a purpose for his life, to serve God, to be a minister. In one place in the Bible, he said, "I came not." He was the Son of God. He was the Lord of lords and King of kings. And yet he said, "I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." Jesus was just doing what he was sent into this world to do. The reaching of his preaching, and he gives an outline here of who he's addressing it to. And let me say this right here. Thank God for a Holy Ghost anointing preacher. Amen. Thank God for him. Amen. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. When the Word of God is preached in power, it accomplishes things. And so we ought to always pray. Whoever's standing behind this pulpit right here, pray for them. They need your prayers. Preachers are human. We get like Elijah. Elijah wanted to run and hide and wanted to end his life. He wanted God to take him, didn't he? He got so depressed. Jeremiah, he wanted to quit. He said, I ain't speaking no more in his name. But he said, but his word was like a fire burning down in my bones and I could not stay. I believe every man of God at some time, at some point or another, he comes to a place where he just wants to quit. Gets weary in the battle. And that's where you folks come in. Lift your man of God up. Pray for him. You don't know the things that's laid upon him. Listen to me. You may be carrying your burden, whatever it might be tonight, but the man of God's carrying everybody's burden. Amen. And he needs people praying for him that God would help him to bear up under the load that's placed upon him. He gets weary. He gets tired. Boy, if the devil can knock him out, he'll sure do it. But Jesus, the reaching of his preaching, he said, I'm anointed to preach the poor, to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor. I'm glad. Thank God that you don't have to pay a price to be saved. The good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is free to anyone who wants to be saved. Jesus said, I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. And he also said, he said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Many times in life, I look about this room right here and I can see folks, you know, I've seen times in people's lives when they've been brokenhearted. This world, you know, you don't have to journey very far in life till you're going to get your heart hurt somewhere or another. But Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I'm glad that we can fall on our face before Him. If our heart's been broken by the things of this old world, He said, I'm here to heal you. I'm here to help you. He'll pet on you. He'll love on you. He'll mend your broken heart. And He'll give you hope for tomorrow if you just lean upon Him. Take all your cares to Him. Cast all your cares on Him, for He ever cares for you. He wants to hear from you. Bring your broken heart to Him. That's what he's saying. I came to heal the brokenhearted. He said, I come to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, the devil's good at captivating people. Addictions. I've heard on the news that over 100,000 in this country in the last year died from a fentanyl overdose. Drugs. Alcohol. All manner of sins and the devices that Satan has to destroy lives today. He gets people captivated in a place to where they think they just can't get out of it. But He can set people free. He can set people free. He can deliver anybody from anything if you just turn to Him. He also went on and said, in recovering of sight to the blind. You know, the devil, he's got so many people blinded today to the things of God. There's so many people in the world today that never gives any thought about God. They're too busy in the things of the world. The devil's got them lured off into things of this world. They've been blinded. But Jesus can, He can open blinded eyes to spiritual things. And He can draw and He can save and He can help those that are blinded by the devil. And not only that, but He says this, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Boy, I tell you what, the devil, he'll take you just like he did old Legion. You remember the story about Legion over there in the tombs? He was naked. He was cutting himself. It's a wonder he hadn't done killed himself. They tried to bind him with chains and he fetters and he broke them all loose. Boy, the devil can mess you up. You better listen to me. You give him an inch and he'll take a foot. He'll take a mile. He'll have you so messed up. He'll have you so bruised that you'll think, well, there ain't no hope for me. But there is hope. It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has all power in heaven and earth, and who loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants to set the captive free. He wants to give sight to the blind. And He wants to take those that's bruised. He wants to set them free. Lives that seemingly are ruined. Have you ever seen a lost sinner that man had just given up on? But God sets them free. He can restore. And He's willing to if man will turn to Him. Thank God. Last of this right here, in verse number 19, I want you to notice this. He said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was a year of jubilee, as I understand, as Christ went into the synagogue and preached that day. Every 49 years in Jewish law, there was a time when those that were slaves were set free. It was a time when debts were canceled and a person got a new beginning in life. Isn't that the way Christ does? Amen. He canceled our sin debt and He sets us free from the bondage of sin. And He can give us a new beginning. And listen to me. I don't care. I've been saved a long time, but when I get up in the morning, I'm going to need a new beginning. I want to walk tomorrow with the Lord. And I want to draw nigh to Him, and I want Him to draw nigh to me. And I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that He came into this old world. He said to seek and to save that which was lost. Boy, I'm glad He come to me one day. Ain't you glad He come to you and offered you a chance at life? Not because you was good, not because you deserved it, but because He looked at a poor sinner that was headed toward hell and He had mercy upon us. I thank Him and I praise Him for what He's done for me in my life. And I thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. That's all I have.